I'm pulling away from the curb because I dropped my son off at school. We all know what that means. It's time for the drive to work. Okay, so previously I had a podcast where I talked all about the making of the Bolas arc. It was a multi-year story arc. So today I'm going to talk about the making of the Phyrexian War arc. So we're going to talk all about the making of that and how it came together and some of the things we thought about but didn't do and some things we did do. And anyway, today is the story of the Phyrexian War arc. Okay, so first, a little bit of background. So let's set ourselves up correctly. So a little history of the Phyrexians. I did do a whole podcast on the Phyrexians that you can listen to, but for a short recap, they first show up in Magic's second ever expansion, Antiquities. They're not the mage. They're sort of a background character in the Brothers' War. They obviously interact with Mishra and cause Mishra a bunch of problems. And so they're part of the story, but they're not the main villain of the story. And it's not until the Weatherlight Saga that Michael Ryan and I created, where the Phyrexians become sort of a major villain of the story. They were the major villain of the Weatherlight Saga. And it turns out the Urza realizes how dangerous they are. And the Weatherlight Saga is Urza and his master plans to stop the Phyrexians. And at the end of the Weatherlight Saga, they purge the Phyrexians from the multiverse. Ha-ha! We are done with them. But of course, the Phyrexians were too good to villains. And so Brady Domroth and I came up with a master plan to bring back the Phyrexians because we really wanted to bring back the Phyrexians. And so the idea was that we, when we first went to Mirrodin Block, we did a little bit of teasing with Phyrexian oil. So Karn accidentally brings Phyrexian oil to Mirrodin when he makes the plan of Mirrodin. He's unaware that he's done this. And when we were in original Mirrodin, we just teased it just a little bit that the Phyrexians are there. Like in one of the first pages of the novel, the main antagonist, sees oil and it goes into his fingers, and we just sort of hint at it, but it's there. We were setting up the story. So then the plan was we were going to come back to Mirrodin many years later and discover that Mirrodin was New Phyrexia. The original plan there was it just was going to be New Phyrexia, and at the end of that block, you discover, oh my goodness, it was formerly Mirrodin, but we realized in making it that actually the fall of Mirrodin was kind of a cool story. So we ended up doing Scars of Mirrodin, where the Phyrexians are like 10% of the set. And then there's Mirrodin Besiege, where there's a war between Mirrodin and the Phyrexians, in which it's 50-50. And then what we did for that block is we said to the audience, we're not even going to tell you how that... The final set's either going to be called Mirrodin Pure, if Mirrodin wins, or New Phyrexia, Phyrexia wins. Spoilers, New Phyrexia won. So it was called New Phyrexia. And so we see the Phyrexians, we wanted to put them back on the map. The idea was Mirrodin was this tough world, and even they fell to the Phyrexians. But the idea was we have baked in, one of the core sort of weaknesses to the Phyrexians is they had no ability to planeswalk. So while they took over the plane they were on, Mirrodin, which they renamed New Phyrexia, there was no way for them to get off the plane. So that was the one saving grace was they were trapped on the plane. The other weakness they had, by the way, was that Phyresis, which is the process of making one a Phyrexian, didn't work on planeswalkers. Something about the spark kept Phyresis from happening. So anyway, that is where we leave them. And we knew that we were going... I mean, on some level, when Brady and I first bought the Phyrexians, we had kind of this long plan. I don't quite know. We knew we were going to bring them back. We were going to put the stake in the ground. And we knew that at some point they would be the main villain again. The idea of Scars of Mirrodin was just kind of reintroduce them. We wanted to give them a win. In storytelling purposes, you normally when you introduce your villain in Act 1, you give them a win over something. So you demonstrate how dangerous they are as a villain. And that's what we did with Scars of Mirrodin. So anyway, after the Bola story, we knew the next story we wanted to tell was the Phyrexian story. In fact, there are seeds of the Phyrexian story built in to the Bola story. For example, Nicole Bolas, as part of his master plan, he wants to lure all the planeswalkers, or as many as he can, to Ravnica. And he has this this zombie eternal army made in Amonkhet. And the challenge is he wants this thing to happen in Ravnica, but his army is on Amonkhet. Well, how do you get your army, your eternal zombie army from Amonkhet to Ravnica? Well, the answer was based in something that happened in Kaladesh, now Avishkar. And in the set Kaladesh, we discover they're doing an invention. They're doing it's a world of invention, and somebody, I forget her name, designs a thing called the Planar Bridge. There was a scientist on Kaladesh, now Avishkar, who figures out that there are multiple planes, and they create a means to travel between the planes. Now, the Planar Bridge has one core weakness, which is it can't, organic material can't go through it. Only inorganic material. But for purposes of Bolas, well, his zombie army isn't alive, so that is fine. And so he has Tezzeret steal it. Tezzeret ends up encompassing the Planar Bridge into his body, because that's the kind of thing Tezzeret does. And Tezzeret uses the Planar Bridge to get the Eternal Army to Ravnica. But then he gets away. He's not there at the end when Bolas gets caught. He's not there. And one of the reasons we wanted the Planar Bridge to exist is that it served a secondary purpose. Yeah, it helped Bolas. But we knew that we needed a way to get the Phyrexians off of New Phyrexia. And the thing about the Planar Bridge is the Phyrexians are part machine, part flesh. Well, the Planar Bridge strips their flesh off, but there's still enough machine that they can use it. And so that was the master plan. The idea was we introduced the Planar Bridge in the Bolas arc, and okay, that exists. We were trying to be subtle about it, but the idea is that was going to be the way the Phyrexians, at least the Praetors, first get off New Phyrexia. So the plan was we were very subtle in the Planar Bridge. We didn't really announce that this is what Tezzeret was going to do. So what we wanted to do, we thought it was going to be really cool, was what if the way we introduce, at least to the Vorthos, to the hardcore story people, the way we'll first tell you something is wrong is we'll let you see a Phyrexian Praetor not on New Phyrexia. And if you knew anything about the Phyrexians, that should scare you. That should go, uh-oh, things are so... So obviously, War of the Spark ends. The very next set is Throne of Eldraine. So original plan was just jump right into the story right away. And in fact, so originally Throne of Eldraine was not one set, but two sets. The first set was going to take place in the courts, and the second set, Rowan and Will were going to go find their father and go into the woods. So the second set was going to be in the woods. And one of the villains we planned, the main villain really we had planned, was a character we called the Whispering Queen. The Whispering Witch. The Whispering Witch. And so the idea was, in the second set, when they go in the woods and they finally meet her, we were going to make her a card. And when you saw her card and saw the illustration, the Vorthoses would realize it's Shieldred. That, because she's the Whispering One, right? So that she, that the Whispering Witch is in fact Shieldred, who's gotten off of New Phyrexia. Like, uh-oh, that's not good. But we ended up deciding that we wanted to give a little bit of a break. We decided that, like, we just had a story. Let's do a little bit of a slower roll of the new story. Oh, the other challenge we had was when we had done New Phyrexia, one of the feedback we got was there was a part of the audience that really, really liked, like, the Phyrexians have a lot of kind of they cross between science fiction and horror. There's some body horror. You know, they're definitely a little intense. And the note we got from New Phyrexia was, there's an audience that loved that, but there also was an audience like, okay, a little much for me. So we wanted to be careful how much we sort of showed the Phyrexians. We wanted to tell a story, but have the Phyrexians not take up too much space. We knew we were going to have one set where we went, you know, wall-to-wall Phyrexians, and we knew we wanted to have the big finale. And the big finale was more of a war story than a Phyrexian story, although the Phyrexians obviously would take a role in that. So we know those two sets would have a lot of Phyrexians, but other than those two, we wanted to kind of slow roll the Phyrexians. And like I said, the very first thing we wanted to do is just show you a Phyrexian. And not even say anything about it, just oh my God, there's a frack scene. What does that mean? Well, if you're in the know, you know that's a problem. Okay, so we ended up not doing... Early on, there was a whole different storyline we were doing with Will and Rowan. They were actually originally going to become... There's a new villain we were making where they were going to have a whole sort of... what's the word? Like a Knights of the Round Table. They were going to have a whole crew and that they could teleport all of them. They could planeswalk all of them. And that we were trying to make this villain that was this whole team... But that because Rowan and Will were there, they could planeswalk both of you. We didn't end up going that route. There was a bunch of plans and things we tried that didn't actually come to fruition. But anyway, we ended up saying, well, we're going to push back that. Now, I would say the first new story we did actually was in the second set, which was in Theros Beyond Death. When we audibled and decided for Eldraine would just be one set, we pushed up Theros Beyond Death. So the important part there was we knew that we wanted, it was important that Elsbeth was a big player in the story. The Phyrexians is a huge part of her backstory. And we didn't want to have a giant fight with the Phyrexians and not have Elsbeth involved. Well, we had kind of left Elsbeth to be continued. So when we did Throne of Eldraine, not Throne of Eldraine, we did Theros, Elsbeth was our main character. And in the story... it made sense in the story for Heliod to kill her, but we knew that we were on Theros, which had an underworld, which means she wasn't 100% dead because there was an underworld. And so we knew that before the Phyrexian story happened, we had to get her out of the underworld. And so we talked about going back to Theros, and so part of the reason we went back to Theros there was we knew in order to tell the story, we had to free Elspeth. Due to a bunch of factors... The story ended up not coming out as we had planned. In the story, there's like Elsbeth sort of has a nightmare about the Phyrexians. we do a little bit of seeding of something's going to come up with the Phyrexians. But anyway, we did manage for her to escape. She escapes in the story and in the cards. Okay, so we ended up, the first set we decided, we sort of slow rolled it a little bit, did some individual stories. So Kaldheim was where we ended up putting the first Phyrexian. So, Vorinclex ends up showing there. We kind of liked him being like a Grendel sort of character from mythology. Just this wild beast. And we did exactly what we wanted to do, was he just shows up in the set, we don't talk about him, he's not in the story. We did do a Phyrexian version of him, just to sort of reinforce he's a Phyrexian. And it was clear for the people in the know, when Vorinclex showed up, the Vorthoses were very much like, uh-oh, like, the entire weakness of the Phyrexians is their inability to travel. And they figured out pretty quickly that it was Tezzeret and the Planar Bridge. I mean, I guess we had done a good job of establishing that. They figured out that's what it was. And the reason that we bring him to Kaldheim, we didn't really explain it too much at the time, but Kaldheim has the World Tree. And the World Tree is this thing that connects all the different planes of the multiverse. So we knew that the master plan was they were going to escape and then attack the multiverse. We knew that from the very beginning, that we were trying to... Like, the last story had been the War of the Spark. It's like, oh, it's Boleth against almost every planeswalk you've ever heard of. And we were trying to find something equally large in scope. And so how about the Phyrexians invade the multiverse? That sounded pretty large in scope. And so... What we did was, we introduced the... So when we did Kaldheim, we introduced the World Tree and explained... there are 10 different, I don't know what to call them, planes, I guess, of Kaldheim. And the World Tree connects those. And we sort of explained that, it already is connecting different planes, but it has the ability to connect to all planes. And so we sort of set that up. We knew where we were going with it, but we were pretty subtle on... I mean, Vorinclex was there. We didn't really explain why Vorinclex was there. Then we don't do anything again until about a year or so later when we go to Kamigawa Neon Dynasty. We have our second predator show up, Jin Kataxis. And this time, we do one more thing. The idea was every time they show up, we were trying to sort of raise the stakes a little bit. And what happens here is we see Tamiyo get Phyrexianized. Yes. Jin Kataxis, with the help of New Phyrexia, not New Phyrexia, from Kamigawa, figures out how to Phyrexianized planeswalkers. Like I said, they couldn't move planes. They couldn't deal with planeswalkers. Now we've seen them move planes, and we've seen them move with planeswalkers. So we're just upping the threat. We're trying to little by little explain, like, this is going to be a problem. And we just did one. We knew we were going to Phyrexianize more planeswalkers, but we want to introduce with one. We chose Tamio. We wanted sort of an emotional one that really would hit home. And we wanted to be on Kamigawa. So anyway, that all tied together. Then on the very next set, Streets of New Capenna, Urbas shows up. Urbas is the one that's very much against what the... He's kind of the rebel of the Praetors, and he was trying to stop what Elshnorn was up to. So he's trying to get, what's it called, Halo. The substance that's on New Capenna is problematic for the Planeswalkers. We set up the story that the Phyrexians used to be on New Capenna. They got driven off New Capenna. Halo was part of that, and so... trying to sort of set up, okay, maybe there's some answer to the Phyrexians, and introduce that element of it. Then the next time we see the Phyrexians is Sheoldred on Dominaria United. And this time we want to see an actual, we start seeing a little bit of the invasion. So Sheoldred and Phyrexian shows up in black. Black is the color that most fits with the, you know, like early Phyrexians, if you go back to the beginning, were just in black. We made a conscious choice when we brought them back in Scars of Mirrodin to spread them across all the colors just because we needed them to be there. And there's no reason they couldn't be across the colors. But black is where they're most at home, and a lot of their horror-ish elements make more sense in black. So the first set that does kind of more Phyrexians, more so than just, you know, a handful, is on Dominaria. Also, Dominaria has a long history with the Phyrexians, so there's fun stuff to play there. And we get a Phyrexian as our second planeswalker, a Johnny. Notice we're going for the jugular from an emotional standpoint. We're hitting the fan favorites, showing that anybody can fall to the Phyrexians. So the final year, we knew that we wanted to sort of ramp up and tell the story in the final year. Like before that, they were showing up and were giving hints of things, but. Usually when we're doing our big story, it's the final year we're really ramping up the story. The story before that is kind of the background. There's bits and pieces of it. You can understand elements that are going on. But we want to... So the final year, there's four sets in the final. First is Dominaria United. That is, we see the Phyrexians show up for the first time in mass. Sheoldred brings a whole squadron of black Phyrexians. We see a Johnny fall. So, like, there's a bunch of stuff there. So then we wanted to do the Brothers' War. And so the Brothers' War was interesting because we wanted to go back in time and see the Brothers' War. And the Phyrexians played a role in the Brothers' War, so we knew that they would be there. But the idea in the story, what we do is that Teferi goes back in time because they realize they need the Gygulfian Silex, which is the thing that Urza sets off to end the Brothers' War, which devastates Teresir. So it's this huge weapon. The problem has been lost to time. So Teferi brings Saheeli... from Avishkar, and she is able to, by letting her witness it, she's able to recreate it so they can make a new Silex. And that becomes very important to the story. Okay, next up is New Phyrexia. So we knew that we wanted to have a period where we're going to go back and we're going to see New Phyrexia. Like, that had always been part of the plan, is that, hey, you love the Phyrexians? Well, we'll give you an all Phyrexian set. So that was the plan of New Phyrexia. It was going to be the all Phyrexian set, deliver on Phyrexia. You want poison, you want Phyrexian mana, all the things that you would come and expect from Phyrexian. We also, it's a place where we did a whole cycle of Phyrexian planeswalkers. So the master plan basically was that Jace gathers a collection of heroes, including Elsbeth, and they are going to invade New Phyrexia and save the day. That is the plan. Now, that plan goes horribly awry. They get scattered when they arrive. A lot of them get Phyrexianized. So things do not go the way they plan. And then Jace, because Vraska has been Phyrexianized, through Vraska, Jace gets Phyrexianized. And as he's slipping away into his Phyrexianess, as his last act of free will... he decides that he needs to set off the Silex. Now, the Silex will destroy all of New Phyrexia. I think it'll destroy any planes that are connected at that point through the World Tree. But Jace is like, they're too dangerous. You know, we need to do it. And this is his last act before he's getting Phyrexianized. Elsbeth decides that's not the right thing to do. It would kill too many innocent people. So she planeswalks away with it, and it explodes as she's sort of traveling through the blind eternities. And apparently kills Elsbeth. And anyway, the story ends with, uh-oh, things are looking bad. So the final March of the Machine was the actual invasion. And the idea was, like I said, we knew from the very beginning we were going big. Like, the Phyrexians invade the multiverse, which mostly meant they invade basically every plane that you've ever heard of. We came up with the idea and design that we wanted to show off all the planes that ended up becoming battles. So the idea is we're going to show you the different planes. We toyed around a lot with how we wanted to execute on... there was a point in which we were going to show you 10 worlds, one per draft archetype. And in the end, decided we wanted to go a little bit broader than that. So we ended up showing a whole bunch of different planes. And we had a lot of fun. And Merchant Machine really went big. Did it go a little too big? I don't know. It definitely was. One of the notes we got about Merchant Machine was it felt... Because we had to show the beginning of the invasion, the middle of the invasion, and the end of the invasion all in one set, a lot of people felt like it just went too fast. I think in retrospect, probably what we needed to do was have the Phyrexian invasion really begin in New Phyrexia and see a little bit of them invading and have the story end of New Phyrexia end with they've begun to invade the multiverse and it's looking like they're going to succeed. And then have the March of the Machine is about the saving the multiverse. Not about both the invasion and the saving of it, but maybe just the saving of it so that we can see... Like, we need a point in which it looks like the Phyrexians are going to win. And that's in the story, but because the card says to show the whole story, it does feel like they invade and lose right away. Like, it didn't give them the sense of like, a lot of bad things happen. The Phyrexians actually are very successful. I mean, in the end, they lose, but they do a lot of damage. So what happens, by the way, is through a series of actions, Elsbeth does come back. She's been reincarnated as an angel. Oh, really quickly, just to talk about that. We had talked about wanting Elsbeth to be an angel for years, and a lot of it was trying to figure out where and how to get there that we could do it. We talked about it, but we'd not found a place we thought was the right place. Even on Theros, we're like, oh, could she be reborn as an angel? That didn't make sense on Theros. But we liked the idea that she had escaped from the underworld. And so we'd been working toward this opportunity. So we were working the story and the idea that, oh, she sacrifices herself. That seemed like the perfect opportunity to make her into an angel. So we did. And she's from New Capenna. So like there's when we first had made the storyline, we didn't quite know where she was from. And we figured out some of her background as we made New Capenna. So... it all sort of wove together in a cool way. Also, another big part of this is Zulfir. So Zulfir, there's a set called Mirage back in 1996. And Mirage takes place, the early sets mostly take place on Dominaria. Jamora, which is the continent, is very inspired, African inspired. And part of that is called Zulfir. And so Teferi is from Zulfir. When the Phyrexians invade during the Phyrexian invasion, during the Weatherlight Saga story, during the Phyrexian invasion, he uses his powers to phase them out so that he puts them in a place that the Phyrexians can't get access to. But then he loses his, during the mending, like he loses his planeswalker ability, loses the spark, and he's not able to bring them back. And that is one of the ongoing storylines for Teferi is his people are lost in time, essentially, and he needs a way to bring them back. We knew we were going to bring them back. We decided that the right time to finish that storyline was this storyline. What if the key to solving the problem of the Phyrexian invasion was Zulfir, who had been preparing for the Phyrexian invasion? And so that was an important part of bringing them back in. In the end, they end up swapping Zulfir with Mirrodin. So now what was Mirrodin is now Zulfir, and what was Zulfir is now Mirrodin. So we set that up. The other thing that was really important is we wanted some large consequences of this. A lot of characters die. A lot of worlds are majorly affected. I know because the war starts and ends all in the same set, it felt to some people like it was inconsequential, but we've done a lot on a lot of the worlds. Like Eldrin's a good example where not only did the king die, but like the kingdoms fell. Half of to save them, they put the lot of the a lot of the people were put to sleep, but they couldn't wake them up because the sleep spell didn't know how to break it. Like, there's a lot of consequences of this across. And as we go to different worlds, when we kind of revisit things, you'll see what impact did the Phyrexians being there have on them. And like I said, on a lot of them, it was a pretty big impact. One of the big things was... the two biggest things, I think, that one of the things about having big events is you want to sort of shift and allow us to sort of change things around. So one of them is the disparking, which is a lot of planeswalkers lost their spark. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And so some of that was seen in aftermath, some was seen after. We didn't sort of advertise exactly who got disparked and who didn't. So it's been an ongoing thing you sort of learn. It's been a big, it had a big impact on people that got disparked, and even some of the people that were still sparked, who had relationships with people that were disparked, had an impact. And then probably the biggest thing from an ongoing story standpoint is the way they go between planes on Kaldheim is they have a little what we call omen paths. So normally, when the mending happened, so in Magic's past, there used to be planar portals and things. The Phyrexians would use planar portals. But when the mending happened, we decided to sort of do away with the portals and said, the only people that can cross between worlds are the planeswalkers. That's what makes them special. Nobody else can go between worlds. And so for quite a while, unless you're a planeswalker, you have no way to go from one plane to another. But then we decided that there might be some fun stories of watching planes intermingle or characters move. And so one of the side effects of the story was the Omen Paths. Now, the Omen Paths are very unstable. They can be small. They can be large. They can show up for a minute. They can stay for a year. What they are and how they work is very up to us, the people who make the stories, have them work. Meaning there's a lot of... and the idea is, if I go through an Omen Path, there's no guarantee it's there when I come back. Meaning, I might go to another world and then not be able to return. So, there's a lot of consequences. Only planeswalkers can control where they go. If you go through an omen path, it goes to wherever the omen path goes. And even then, like I said, that they can be temporary. And there's a lot of ramifications of that. We definitely have started building stories off that. Outlaws of Thunder Junction, Aether Drift... there are future things that are taking advantage of the fact that there are things intermingling between things. That actually became a big part of what we're going on. We did, by the way, come up with the idea of doing a set called Aftermath, where the idea was at the end of the story, we would do something to sort of show what happened. For those that don't know, that went horribly awry. People did not like that. And so we are not doing those anymore. But we tried to introduce that concept. But anyway, the real master plan was... Oh, and the other thing is there are, as you will see at the storyline, there are consequences of what happened. For example, to give a little tip here, is as we learn more about reality fracture, Jace being Phyrexianized has a big, a lot of what Jace is up to, a lot of the stories we'll learn about it, comes from... This was a really traumatic event for Jace. And so the idea is the seeds of things that happen here affect future stories. The Omen Pass affects future stories. The Disparking affects future stories. We did a lot of seeding in this story arc of future story arcs. And so as we get to future things, you will see there's through lines that, the planar bridge in Bolas affected this. There are pieces that show up in each storyline that affect the next storyline. And so... Jace getting Phyrexianized is a big, big deal and affects a lot of things. So anyway, guys, that is the mapping of how we did the Phyrexian War arc. Like I said, we sort of mapped it out ahead of time. We did a slow roll. It's one of the ways that we've been sort of trying to do these now is that, hey, we want people to just have fun and get different stories. And we like the larger arching story to be in the background a lot of the time. And then usually for the last year when we're coming up to the climax, we raise the volume of it a little bit so you can see more what's going on. But anyway, guys, I hope you enjoyed the walk through the arc. That is the making of it. So anyway, I'm now at work. We know what that means. It means it's the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time to be making magic. Hope you guys enjoyed today's story, and I'll see you next time.